Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is Derby Yuoa. Derby is with us today. We're talking about the political issues and what's taking place across the nation. We'll be talking about the immigration and what's happening at our borders in just a moment. We'll be looking at some of the candidates running for local office and why it's imperative that we get out and vote, especially voting as a Christian conservative and patriot. Derby, I'm looking at an article that if it weren't so sad, it'd be laughable. Kamala Harris deletes the very first right from the Declaration of Independence. It was a pro-abortion political speaking engagement on pro-abortion topic to a pro-abortion crowd. So, of course, Kamala Harris had to delete from a reference to the Declaration of Independence its opening affirmation of America's right to life. It was Gateway Pundit commentary that bluntly cited Harris's decision to alter the nation's foundation document. Here's what she said. Kamala's grotesque omission from the Declaration of Independence in pro-abortion speech. We're guaranteed, she says, we're guaranteed the right of liberty and the pursuit of happiness. This writer says, wow, what happened to the right for life? The right of life. She omitted it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have folks in office today that are trouncing upon, eviscerating and shredding our founding documents, including our Bill of Rights. And ladies and gentlemen, I am passionate about these issues that some call political. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, lest you have not understood it in the past. In the Bible, there's no such thing as social, economic, military, political, and spiritual. It's all one warp and woof, that's one fabric, from God. So if we talk about things that we call today political, it is talking about scriptural, biblical issues that we need to be familiar with. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the prefaces that we're on with the deep, dark danger before us as a nation. If we eviscerate our Bill of Rights, if we destroy those liberties that we have therein, we've destroyed ourselves as a nation. As it stands today, about 2% in the United Kingdom, about 2% are professing Christians. We're on the fast track for that in America. We're destroying our liberties based on what God's Word has given us and the truth that's embedded in our liberties found, given to us by God, codified in our Constitution, confirmed by our courts for us to carry out as citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about where we're headed. I pray that you are. And the election that's coming up, our primary election in the city of Jacksonville, March the 21st, 2023, I'm standing to some 48 candidates that's running. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Before we do, I'm going to ask Derby, since he's an immigrant, Derby is here as a naturalized U.S. citizen. Derby came out of a nation, Cuba, of communism, and as a result of that, he understands what's happening when it comes to our border. Derby, speak to the border issue and the flood of those that are coming in. We're not supposed to call them illegals now. They're just undocumented workers, or they are now being called our guests that's coming into America. That's what some of the politicians are calling. Speak to that issue and why it's so important for us to understand it.
Well, I think everyone knows that the deep state, Washington, wants the illegals here because Democrats won cheap votes and the Republicans want cheap labor. Mm-hmm. And then there is no penalty for crossing the border illegally. So they keep doing it. So unless you punish them, they'll continue to do it. What we need right now is another Operation Wetback, which is what President Eisenhower conducted in 1954. Why was that? Because he was trying to make jobs, create jobs for the returning Korean War veterans. So he got rid of the illegals so that the American citizens have a chance to get a job. So it's incomprehensible that today we have both Republicans and Democrats putting the Ukraine ahead of the U.S., the illegal aliens ahead of the U.S. citizens, the illegal aliens. Everything comes first, and then America comes last. To me, all of them are traitors. That simple. So Operation Wetback is needed on steroids.
One of the things that we find, Derby, with the number that's coming in, we're told that there's about 5 million plus under the Biden administration that's been allowed to come in. And that does not count approximately 1 million, what they call gotaways. That does not include what is called the DACA group, which is about 30 million. The Democrats claim it's about 11 million. So what I'm getting to is we're rapidly approaching a number of about 100 million people. And according to an article that I read recently, the United Nations now promulgating, pushing, and wanting about 100 million illegals to come into America to totally change the demographics of America. It was in 2009 that some conservative demographers made the prediction that by 2030, America would be an Hispanic-speaking nation, and that by 2050, we would be controlled by Islam in America. We're on the fast track for that today, and I'm vitally concerned about it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of saying no to those coming in legally. We have people, and I've been told we have some million-plus people in line waiting for legal status because they're coming in the front door and not the back door of our nation. It should be vital to us to understand what we see taking place is the overthrow of a constitutional republic, and it's being done purposefully for the purpose of changing the demographics and the whole mindset of America. George Soros, yes, a lot of times people talk about the fact that George Soros is funding it, and he is. But one of the major things we see, Derby, taking place today, Biden is, without fanfare, without any dialogue or discussion on any of the network news, Biden is appointing hundreds of new federal judges. And those that he's appointing across the nation will make the decisions on any of the suits that are coming up in the future as to whether or not any of these things are legal. And we're finding more and more decisions being made by federal judges rather than through our legislative process. We have a nation that's being run by judges today, and I think that we're in serious trouble when we find that taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Derby, what do you say about my statements?
Well, when I came to the U.S. in 1960, everything was in English. Mm-hmm. There was no bilingual anything. And that's the way it was, period. But today, we have voting in so many languages. Everything is multicultural. Mm-hmm. Where, well, we have one culture, the American English-speaking culture.
Yes.
If you don't like it, you don't have to be here. Another thing, religion is a very important part of any culture.
Mm-hmm.
A country is defined by its border, language, and culture. And religion is part of the culture. So we should not be accepting those who are of a very different religion that is incompatible with our Christian, Western European culture.
I'm in agreement with that. And Debbie, when you touch on that, I'm reminded, looking at a headline article, Governor DeSantis appointed officials ignites holy dispute over prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, this article is Dateline, January the 23rd. A new College of Florida called NCF Board of Trustees member recently appointed by the Republican Governor Ron DeSantis clashed with the board officials by requesting to open every meeting in prayer. DeSantis appointed six new members to the NCF Board of Trustees earlier this month, a decision anticipated to move the college's mission into a more conservative direction. Eddie Spire, one of the new appointees, announced on Twitter that he requested to begin every board meeting with prayer. However, the request was denied by the board chair, Mary Roos, and legal counsel David Smolker. Further in the article, it says, he told the DCNF that he will recommend electing a new chair and counsel for the Board of Trustees on January the 31st meeting. Spire cited a 1983 Supreme Court decision, Marsh versus Chambers, which ruled that it is not a First Amendment violation for a prayer to be led ahead of a legislative session, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the position where right here in the city of Jacksonville, our city council is afraid to allow someone to lead in open prayer. And here it is in the state of Florida, where a new board's been set up with a college that's the name has been changed to refresh it and to give an opportunity for it to go into a conservative direction as directed by our governor. And now the chairman of the board is saying, you cannot open the session with prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the denigration, the destruction of our nation. And yet the scripture says in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, that we're to pray for all people. And it goes into detail, I'm paraphrasing, I shall call it praying for the princes, presidents, prime ministers, and potentates. We're to pray for those that we elect over us. But ladies and gentlemen, it says so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And I am praying every day that God will remove Joe Biden in some fashion. Remove him so that I can live a quiet and peaceable life. I believe that it's honoring God for us to say, God, take care of these situations. You handle it. When you study the book of Nehemiah, every time the enemy would come against him, he'd say, God, you see what's happening. God, you take care of it. And I believe that's what we need to do as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some of the pitfalls and the problems we're faced with. Debbie, let's move to another thought. We're dealing with, I've been told, about 48 candidates running for office in the city of Jacksonville. Talk about some of those offices, some of the ones you think are the most important, some of the candidates you believe we should be concerned about, some of the candidates you think we need to vote for. What's your position on some of our local offices and how we should stand on those?
Well, I believe that whatever Raymond Johnson said yesterday, I say ditto to that. You know, I have gotten to know all those candidates. I've met them. They know me by name. And they're the ones that I would like to support. Concerning Al Ferraro for mayor, I met him before he got elected to city council. And he's a wonderful person, honest, Christian, hardworking, intelligent, with a very charming wife. And so it's easy to vote for them because they are true Americans and true, honest workers. And that also applies to Mai Gay, who also has a very charming wife and hardworking and honest and knowledgeable. So these two people did not need a job. They are doing it because they care about Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And their opponents are, to me, nothing but rhinos or hypocrites, establishment people, former Democrats, or Democrats with a new name. I'd like to mention the REC in Jacksonville, and Dean Black, the chairman, brags about, oh, we have elected a bunch of Republicans.
For some of the people, Derby, if I can jump in, that may not know what REC stands for.
Republican Executive Committee.
Okay.
And I say, no, Mr. Black, you have elected a bunch of rhinos, mm-hmm. not Republicans. So don't brag about it. In fact, you should be ashamed that we have a city council that is majority Republican, but who votes for tax increases and restrictions and the HRO, et cetera, et cetera. So that's doesn't make any sense. Concerning, should I talk about their opponents a word or two? Or?
Yeah. Well, for example, and you and I are on the same page, when it comes to Al Ferreira, I believe that Al is the most, how would you say, appropriate candidate for that office, for the office of mayor. I believe he has the credentials, the background, the proven track record, 8 years in city council, the proven track record in District 2 that he's presently in. But yet, he's got, how would you say, it's like David and Goliath. He is David, and Goliath are the ones that's running against him. You've got Daniel Davis that's running against him with several million, I think it's $4.5 million in the war chest. Speak about why that candidate would be the wrong candidate for mayor.
Well, he's part, Daniel Davis is part of the good old boy group in Jacksonville. He's involved in the sale, was involved in the trying to sell JEEA. And then right now, even the REC put a petition to Governor DeSantis to do a state investigation of the trying to sell JEA. And so it was all because of Daniel Davis. So he's responsible for trying to screw the Jacksonville public.
Well, one of the things, if I can jump in that thought, and you're exactly right. He is the head of the Chamber of Commerce. I think, if I'm not mistaken, his salary is like $435,000 a year. He dealt with the board at the chamber and got them to agree that if he fails as running for candidate for mayor, he'd still have his job as the head of the chamber at his $400,000 a year salary. But Daniel Davis, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply say this, and I want it to be very, very clear and direct. Daniel Davis is the reason at this moment in the city of Jacksonville we have the open bathroom law, if you will. It is called the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance. I've always called it the Human Reprobate Ordinance. And as a result of that, Daniel Davis, through his power position with the power brokers in the city behind him, pushed through the HRO. We defeated it in 2012. We defeated it in November 2015. It came back up then in January and February of 2016, and finally was pushed through in the latter portion of 2016. And Daniel Davis was the key mover and shaker that gave us the immoral, unholy, ungodly HRO in the city of Jacksonville. That's not bad enough, ladies and gentlemen. It's through Daniel Davis that $325,000 was paid, secretly given to Daniel Davis, to push through the attempt to steal the JEA, that is to sell it out from under the citizens of Jacksonville. Now, some say, well, that'd be all right. That would privatize JEA. No, it wouldn't. They're totally different laws and regulations for a city municipality operated JEA than it would be if it's a privately owned JEA. It would make a vast difference in our control, local control through the city council as to what JEA can and cannot do and charge. So I think it would be a major, major, major difficulty for Jacksonville if that would happen. So what we're dealing with, Derby, as I see it, is a person that's disingenuous, a person that does not meet the candidate's requirements. In fact, I've always looked at Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. The scripture gives a very, very clear overview of who we need to appoint over us. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, should be able men. That is, men that have the capability and the competence to carry out the work. Such as fear God, the scripture says. That means reverence and respect for God and God's word. And if you're going to push for a sodomite bill, an HRO bill, there's no reverence for God and respect for God's word, in my opinion, based on the authority of scripture. Men of truth, the scripture says. That means having a reputation of integrity, reliable men. those that you can trust their word and what they say. And then the capstone of that text in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, hating covetousness, that is not like Biden and his cabal, not greedy, not grasping, not looking for the lobbyist payoff on what you do and the vote. So, Derby, I say without any equivocation, and some people say, well, you know, I just don't believe that he's electable. I've heard a number of people, Derby, that will say, well, you know, Al Ferrero is not electable. He doesn't have the power brokers behind him. He doesn't have the money machine behind him. That's all true. But when he was elected to city council, he was elected in his district by 68%. The second term, the second 4 years, he was elected by 71%. And he's done nothing but get out door-to-door, house-to-house, and speaking the truth. And he stated very clearly on this broadcast, several interviews, that his faith controls what he does. And I don't know about you, but that's the person I want to vote for.
Also, he's the one who doesn't have any big donors.
That's right.
So he's not accountable to those special interests. Now, Davis and Leanna Cumber, they have big donors, meaning that they will not decide. The donors will decide for them.
Out-of-state, out-of-town donors.
Correct.
Democrat funds coming in to a Rhino candidate. Let's speak for a moment about Danny Becton. Danny Becton is running for property appraiser. He's got Joyce Morgan, which is a loose likes lost liberal on the left that I won't even count that as a possible detractor. You got Jason Fisher. That Jason Fisher is termed out in the House and looking for another slot to sit on. I'm not saying that in a denigrative fashion. I just simply do not want to vote for Jason.
And me neither.
I want people to understand that. Then you got Danny Becton. Tell me about Danny Becton, his qualifications and capabilities.
Well, I know he was one of Al Ferraro's supporters while on city council. About Jason Fisher, he's the one who voted to rehire, extend the contract for Vitti, Dr. Vitti, who started with the open bathrooms or the bisexual, all that stuff, and Common Core, and changing the name of a school.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be good in some areas, but concerning education, I don't like him at all.
Well, it's too vacillating.
Yes.
think he goes with the flow of the wind. And I say that with all due respect for him, but I don't think he's the candidate that I could say is a stalwart of the faith and will stand for truth without bending and bowing. And I believe that's the kind of candidates we need. What are the candidates we need to talk about?
Well, for sure, you know, Mike Gay, who is like Al Ferraro, is the better person for the job. He's my city council district member. So I've gotten to know him. You said you would have him on the show soon, and I'll be sure to call him today. So I think of nobody else but my gay, and he's not gay either.
Well, one of the things that I want our listeners to understand from a Christian standpoint, from a conservative standpoint, from a central biblicist position, we need to understand that God created civil government. And civil government was created to punish the evil and to protect the good. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, what we find taking place is the reverse of that. Our governmental affairs people, those city council, those state legislators, state senators, U.S. senators, U.S. Representatives, ladies and gentlemen, so much of what they do today is based on a lobbyist push for them to make a vote or to make a determination. Right now, in the state of Florida, we have the immunity law. It was initially Senate Bill 7014. Senate Bill 7014 became law. It was signed into law by the governor, and that gives total immunity in the state of Florida, total immunity for a doctor, a hospital, a medical association to kill the patient. And the family members have no recourse. They cannot sue the doctor, the hospital, or the medical association because they have total immunity. If that doctor, if that hospital, if that medical association will say that they were following the CDC protocol, that doctor, hospital, medical association are free from any lawsuits. Now, right now, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to call, email, and write every one of our representatives and our governor, asking them to immediately, when the legislators go into session in March, to immediately cancel this legislation, this law. The governor's already said he's planning on letting it play out. It ends July the 1st. I believe it needs to be canceled before then. And I believe we, the people, as Christians, need to say enough is enough. We've had enough family members to be murdered by way of the COVID protocol. There'd be one other thought when it comes to China trade and our buying everything that says made in China. What is your position on that? What should we be concerned about with that?
Well, it's very simple. China has not only stolen our technology, but our jobs. When I came from here, from Cuba, in 1960, everything was made in the U.S. Even in Cuba, everything was made in the U.S. So once upon a time, the U.S. was an exporting nation. Mm-hmm. It had a positive balance of trade with everybody. But today, we have a negative balance of trade. Let me mention, it was during Reagan's years in office, in 1986, that we had the first negative balance of trade with China. Mm-hmm. So even the very conservative Reagan was open to fewer American jobs and more Chinese jobs. It just doesn't make any sense to hurt an American to help a Chinese. Quick example, if I want to set up a factory selling trinkets in Jacksonville, well, I would hire Jacksonville people and pay Jacksonville taxes, state and federal taxes. But if the trinkets come from China, the money goes to China and stays in China. And nobody except Trump has made any issue of it. It's really frustrating. I hate Chinese stuff, period.
Well, one of the things what you're saying is, and of course that goes back to the days of Clinton, with the Clinton administration, where it made China the most favored nation, trade gave them that status. As a result of that, we're finding that, and it's being increased under the Biden administration. My most humble opinion is because of Biden's kickback, if you will, through Hunter Biden and Jim Biden and the Biden family cabal, as I call it, that is absolutely making hundreds of millions off of it. Speak to that for just a moment. We've got fleeting seconds left on the broadcast, but that brings to mind what's happening in the UK. Do you believe we need to keep sending money to the UK? Do you believe we need to keep sending weapons?
Ukraine?
I'm sorry, Ukraine.
Course not. Ukraine is Biden's friend. So sending money to Ukraine is sending money to Biden and the Democrat Party. And we don't want any of that.
I call it the Biden money washing machine.
They're
washing the dollars. There's no accountability of the weapons or the equipment or the dollars going there. Ladies and gentlemen, what we want to close with is this. The scripture says in Luke 21:28, see all of these things coming about. Look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. And we're getting very, very close to that, and I believe it's time for Christians and for conservatives and patriots to recognize the need for us to be a part and not sit down in silence, but to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.